Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Islam, the religion of peace, they say. But is that so? What are school students being taught? How have our history books changed since 9/11? Have we forgotten 9/11 already? What are our children learning about that horrific event and the general history of Islam? My guest today is Pastor Bruce Leonetti. He is a pastor down in Westmoreland County. He attended Teal College and then transferred to IUP to finish his undergraduate work with a BS in education with a history major. He taught in the public schools for 10 years before attending Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary, and he graduated from there with a Master of Divinity, a history major, and he's been pastor of Zion Lutheran Church for 30 years. He also has a current PA teaching certificate and has been a part-time substitute teacher for 25 years. And has been working with the Norwood School District down in Westmoreland County for the past year, and we'll get into that during the interview. But thanks, Pastor Bruce, for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
You know, usually when you approach a school board about something, they immediately just, well, they try to ignore you.
Right.
I'm just going to lay this foundation. You are an expert. I mean, you know history because you have several degrees in history. So you
Correct.
Know history.
Correct.
And you've taught history.
Yes.
So just how bad are our history textbooks?
They are terrible.
Okay.
I looked at about 6 textbooks in the Norwood School District. What I wanted to do was get a first-hand knowledge. I had seen the textbooks of my grandsons, and as a substitute teacher, I had seen parts and, you know, snippets of things in classrooms that mm-hmm. I would go in to substitute. And so I wanted to really find out what was in them in more depth. So I went to the Norwood School District, and I asked for all the history books in the middle school and the high school, and I took them home and went through them, and they're terrible. They're really bad. They were worse than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
As I looked at them, I found so many things that were false, fiction, lies, slanted positions, a total bias of things, omissions of important details, and I developed an 18-page paper pointing out some of these errors in just one of the books.
In just one of the books. You came up with 18 pages. And this was dealing with history in general, not just the Islamic issue.
Okay. Correct. 18. Islamic history. And also a mix of Christian history mm-hmm. along with that.
Right. 18 pages. And this was just one book you reviewed that the 18 pages resulted from.
Right. Oh, and of the 30 pages that were directly, historically about Islam, there were over 30 errors in those 30 pages. So at least one a page.
At least one a page.
At least. And if you wow. look at, and those are just historic factual errors.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about slanted mm-hmm. opinions or biased reflections, but actual historic errors in the books.
So I would take it from that this book or these books were not written by anyone who knew much about history.
Well, actually, in fact, they're written in many cases by Muslims.
You're kidding.
No, the publishing companies are so afraid of the Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, Council on Education in America, that they just give over to them the writing of many of these sections of the history books so that when they're published, they don't get sued or picketed or even threatened. And so you may look at the authors of a textbook in the front of the book, but that's not the person that wrote the pages on Islam.
Okay, wow. So when you talk about the actual Islamic sections in a history book, and probably every history book in America has an Islamic section,
If it has to do with world culture or world mm-hmm. history, yes.
Right. And so those sections have been written by Muslims.
Or edited and approved.
Okay, or edited and approved by Muslims because of the threat it's not just a perceived threat, it's a very real threat of these publishing companies being sued by, as you said, CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood, or the other list of Muslim organizations that are very active in this nation. And I don't think people understand just how we have been infiltrated by
Correct.
The Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, if they can impact our history textbooks and indoctrinate our nation's children to make them sympathizers, I'd almost say,
yes,
to the Islamic religion, then we're in big trouble if we don't realize that and do something to somehow bring it under control.
Yes, these textbooks are, I like to compare them to Trojan horses or Islamic pulpits. You know the old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. And in fact, the one book that I chose to do my review on was called My World History, Early Ages. And it was the worst of all of them. Mm. And it was the seventh grade textbook. In other words, these are seventh graders who, you know, don't really have a worldview yet.
Right.
And now they're planting seeds, giving them a perspective, giving them a way of looking at things that's totally false, so that later when they encounter other materials, they see it through that prism.
Absolutely. The Muslims understand the impact that what they're doing will have on this nation. And they know that, as you said, as the quote that you just gave, I mean, and even Hitler understood that when he, but his quote was something along, "Let me control the textbooks and I will control the state."
Exactly. Mm. He did say that.
And he understood the impact of indoctrinating the children, the school children, to be able to control their, as you're saying, worldview, and to be able to manipulate that worldview in whichever direction that he wants to.
Yeah, and the scary thing is this has been going on for 40 years.
It's not just within the last 11 years.
No.
For
40 years. It's just getting down, I would say now it's down to the seventh grade level. The indoctrination began after the 60s, and the Cultural Revolution at that time period began in the universities. Mm-hmm. And they began indoctrinating professors and getting people in there that are sympathetic. The way they work is that the Saudis, princes, will fund, let's say, an Islamic studies department in the college. And this happened at Harvard. $20 million was given to develop a Middle Eastern studies department. Then they'll put their professors in there. And mm-hmm. then, the college is, hey, give me $20 million, you can do what you want,
exactly.
Practically. And so then they put their people in there to teach, and then they would require teachers who are future teachers, students that are planning to become teachers, to take these courses. So then you indoctrinate the teachers that will be in the high schools and middle schools of the future. And this 40-year, it's taken 40 years, but this process has now come down to the middle school and probably elementary levels also at this point. So it's not something that's happened lately. It's just that we're seeing the worst of it, the real fruit of it, in these textbooks today.
Yeah, well, it's become more blatant, I think.
Yes.
They're probably not as, they're trying not to be as undercover as what they were. And I would hope that parents will be upset about this and concerned about this.
Well, you know, it's something, here's the thing. If you are younger than 50 or 55, mm-hmm. you've been indoctrinated. I'm older than that,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I was taught a different history when I went to school. But if you're younger than 50, you've been indoctrinated already.
Wow.
And so the teachers don't even see this. They're blind to these mm-hmm. errors. And the parents are the same way.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so, really, unless you've had experience teaching history and can see the change, you could read these textbooks and not think anything of it.
You would think that is real history.
Yes.
And
yes. Yeah, there, you have to have some previous experience with the correct history in order to see the errors in this new history that are right.
To be able to compare the
right.
the real history with the false history and see the difference. You know, when you talk about these various history textbooks,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying that the sections that deal with Islam, that they have been, if not written by Muslims, at least approved by Islamic organizations.
Correct.
What are the main publishers of these history books?
Okay, there are three main publishers: McGraw-Hill, Houlton Mifflin, Pearson Prentice Hall. Because there are only three, there's not much competition.
Right. Let me see. So it was McGraw-Hill. What was the second one?
Houlton.
Okay.
Mifflin and Pearson Prentice. I've heard that Pearson Prentice is going out of business, so that leaves two.
Mm.
Without competition, then, you know, with results.
Right.
They can put a lot more pressure on the remaining publishing companies, and it costs them so much money to print these books, and they're used for 10 years, and so the investment is millions of dollars. If they get just one lawsuit that goes to the courts, they can lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so they fear this so much that they allow these. Actually, these textbooks are Sharia compliant.
They're Sharia compliant.
Yes, that's the way I like to describe it. Because, see, under Sharia law, you cannot say anything negative about Islam. And that includes Islam's history. And so they are Sharia compliant. Mm-hmm. They say nothing negative about the history of Islam.
So what, such as Christian schools and such, that, you know, that obviously teach history because it's required, what choices do they have when it comes to history?
Well, there are some smaller publishing companies. There's, for the private schools and the Christian schools, they have to do some work and find these, but they can find them. One thing I've become aware of is the fact that sometimes parochial schools will ask the school district to supply them their textbooks.
I know.
Because, you know, they're small and they can't afford these textbooks cost over $100 each.
Right.
And so the school board says, okay, we'll give you some of these, maybe some older ones or some newer ones. And because they can't afford their own, they end up getting these books that are
Sharia-compliant textbooks.
Right, exactly.
Pennsylvania law is a homeschooling family can also request you know, the textbooks from
exactly.
Not that I would. I mean, I homeschooled our last two kids, and I did not use any public school textbooks. There was no way.
Mm-hmm.
That was one reason for pulling them out of school. So you say that there are some smaller publishers?
Yes, you can get the materials, and they're smaller publishing companies, but it's work. You have to go online. You have to search for them. You know, do a lot of legwork, you know, be able to review them also to make sure they're okay.
To make sure they're okay. But these three, McGraw-Hill, Pearson Prentice, and
Mifflin.
Those three definitely are no good.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the thing about this whole environment is that there are two states, California and Texas, that really control the market.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if Texas has been doing a good job of trying to stop this.
Right. David Barton and Peter Marshall were in there very much involved a couple years ago to get things back on track with the Texas Board of Education when it came to history.
Right. Yeah. So if Texas is able to exert their influence upon these publishers saying, we're not just not going to buy them, then there'll be possibly a change. But California, of course, buys into it automatically because of their liberal, you know, multicultural kind of perspective. And so we do have some hope in changing things if Texas continues their battle against some of this.
Yeah. To me, it's just mind-boggling that 11 years from 9/11, and we know that it was Muslims who were in the cockpit of those planes.
Well, let me give you an example of that in a history book. In the history of that era, in United States history, I reviewed that section also in one of the books because it's so important. And never is the word Muslim or Islamic mentioned.
Not even mentioned.
And the sad thing is, one of the textbooks, this was the only sentence about Shanksville. The fourth plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania.
That's all.
That's it.
We got all of one line.
That's it. All of one line.
Oh, my goodness.
And in that same textbook, a few pages later, you have a nice picture of Osama bin Laden.
The good guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And so the 9/11 is just totally whitewashed.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other word for it that's happened. And it's less than 10 years, because I'm assuming that I don't know what the publication date of that book was, but it's only been 11 years, not even quite 11 years, since the crash, since that whole episode on 9/11. And they're already whitewashing the whole day, all the attacks. Well, look at what the Department of Homeland Security did, the same thing with the report on the Fort Hood shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Muslim Islam was never mentioned in that whole report. It's, again, just outrageous. I know that Washington State got this information from your blog, but it says the worst history textbook in America is History Alive, the Medieval World and Beyond. And that Washington State has suspended the use of that textbook.
Yes, that was very good news recently. Unfortunately, that textbook's used very widely, especially in California.
Okay.
And it is probably the worst textbook published in terms of Islamic influence. and it gets kids involved in praying the sections from the Quran and doing all kinds of other things that are really forbidden under the First Amendment.
Right. Yeah, one of the things was that the students were required to create hallway posters on the pillars of Islam, and also said that the term massacre is only reserved for crusaders and Christians in this particular textbook and is never used for the Muslims who killed in that time period that the history textbook deals with 270 million non-Muslims.
Correct.
So we can rejoice that this particular school district in Washington, or I guess the entire state of Washington, has stopped using this textbook, but as you're saying, California and many, many, many other states still use it.
Right. You know, the problem is also not only a lack of knowledge of history, but it's multiculturalism.
Yeah.
The acceptance of a religion, no matter what its practices are. And you have a form of religious affirmative action also. In the particular text that I reviewed in detail, there were 44 pages on Islam, 24 on Judaism, and 18 on Christianity. And this is religious affirmative action, placing one religion for, you know, whatever politically correct reasons above another.
Yeah. So Christianity only got 18 pages.
Right.
And yet we are a nation founded upon Christian principles.
Exactly.
And we only got 18 pages compared to 44 on Islam. Yeah, that's not good. Now, you have been dealing with, the Norman School District down in Westmoreland County. How have they received your information?
Well, basically, at first, they were patronizing.
Yep.
In other words, we'll listen to you and, you know, pat you on the head and you can go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the typical, they treat parents. But I wouldn't, I wanted to persist. They tried to assure me, oh, we know their errors and we teach around them. We don't really use the textbook. Presenting a lot of educational gobbledygook that usually fools most people, except those that have certificates and have experience in teaching. But where they balked is when I asked them to guarantee they were not teaching these errors. That's when the problem started.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them the right objectives that said exactly what they were going to teach about Islam, and they wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it.
And at that point, they kicked it up to the board and turned it into a political battle. And, of course, you know, then that's, you know, another ball game.
Mm-hmm.
I had given them all the information they needed. At one point, a former teacher at Norwin came forward and said that this is not the history that he taught for 35 years.
Wow.
They ignored that.
Mm-hmm.
They even went to the point of bringing in another minister who was actually a minister of one of the assistant superintendents, you know, talk about conflict of interest,
right.
You know,
right.
Brought in another minister to say, oh, everything's fine, no problem with these textbooks at all. And so at that point, they had dug in, they had become defensive, and they weren't going to admit to anything.
Right. Any parents come to your defense or help you with this?
Well, I had support from mostly the Christian community in the school district, but I learned something interesting. Parents are very reluctant to come forward.
Yeah.
Their children don't want to become targets.
Right.
And plus, the parents that are really concerned with these kinds of things, they're already sending their kids to private schools.
Yeah.
And so you don't really have a lot of people that will stand up with you. But I always said that, you know, I'm a taxpayer. I'm a resident.
Exactly.
This is my
tax dollars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I try to encourage the Christian school people and the parochial school people to realize that their children will have to live with these public schools.
Absolutely.
Children.
Yeah.
And if they are indoctrinated, then that's going to make it very much difficult to live with them.
Yeah.
In the future.
Because they will be taught this revised history and not know what the true history is of Islam, not know what the true history of America is. They're completely distorting American history, and that just concerns me. Because if we don't know our history, if we don't know where we came from, we don't know where we're going. That's just very concerning to me. Now, what is Act for America?
Act for America is a group founded by Brigitte Gabriel, formerly from Lebanon, and she experienced the takeover of Lebanon by Hamas, and she went through terrible persecution in her family. She managed to escape, come to America, and formed an organization to actually wake America up to the fact that the same thing is happening that happened to her country, Lebanon, is happening to our country. This stealth jihad, forms of terrorism in an attempt to take over the country. The organization has various arms and various agencies that work on different matters, legislation and things like that. But in Pittsburgh here, our chapter, I'm the chairman of the education committee. And so my focus is education. And that's why I began, you know, working on this textbook issue.
Okay, good. Do you happen to know the website for that?
Act for America?
Mm-hmm.
It's just Act for America.
.org. .org, okay. ActForAmerica.org.
And I'd like to also mention my blog, which is The Helper That Abides Forever. And that's taken from John 4:16 in the Bible. But if you want to find out a lot more information, just go to www.thehelper, all these are all one word, thehelperthatabidesforever.wordpress.com. .wordpress.com. And I have tons of information. I have my review of the textbook on there, and I've made it available for you to copy it. And
okay.
So some blogs you can't copy anything on.
Right.
But this one you can copy information and use it in your own school district.
So parents need to find out what textbooks their students are using, what their school districts are using, and they need to review those textbooks.
Correct.
And if, well, they first need to go to your blog, the helper that abidesforever.wordpress.com, and they need to see if their school's using the book that you have the reviews, you know, that you already have the reviews done on.
Yes.
I mean, you've done the work, so no sense of duplicating that. And
right.
If their school district's using that, they need to approach their school board about the errors in the history that they're teaching their kids. And it's not just parents either. You're saying taxpayers.
Right,
because even if we don't have kids in school, we are paying our school taxes.
And we're paying for those books.
Absolutely.
That are working against America.
Yeah, and...
You know, and I'm willing to help anybody. There's an email address on there.
Okay.
And even though I just reviewed this one book, all the errors are the same in all the books, just to a different degree. Once you begin to see the errors, you'll find them in all the other books, too.
Okay, so so it's not just, even though you just don't have the reviews of all the books because you haven't had time to read thousands and thousands of pages, the errors that you have in that review are duplicated in all the textbooks in the nation, practically.
Right. And Act for America, if you go to their website, they have a 250-page report on all the textbooks. Click on a tab that says textbook report, and you can find your textbook. You can find the errors of your textbook. So even though I focused on one, Act for America, at their website, you can click on a document and download that 250-page document if you want to, and find your textbook and find the errors in your textbook.
Okay, fantastic. Wow. I definitely encourage folks to do that. And I also want to throw out here that you will be at the Venango County Tea Party Patriots meeting on August 25th at 9 o'clock, making a PowerPoint presentation about this issue.
Yes, and, looking forward to that.
Yeah, we look forward to having you there. So again, the helper that abides forever.wordpress.com is your blog. And there's email there for folks who can contact you via email. You have a review of one of the textbooks that is used in a Norwin school district.
Right, and there's lots of other information, too, that's very helpful, getting people up to speed on this whole issue of Islam in public schools.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you on Saturday then.
Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
Okay, God bless you. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.